over to you now. God bless you.
Hey, thanks so much, Andy. And what an incredible story of Sheila. So encouraging, I think, for us all, wasn't it? The legacy that we can have with our lives. I'm the director of a charity called Share Jesus. People ask what we do. We share Jesus. It's a very clever name. So we do a whole bunch of different resources looking at how we can support churches in communicating the Christian faith relevantly and faithfully. I also work with Gather, working nationally with different church unity groups. That's how I've met Andy Murlock via that, where we're actually bringing churches together to work collaboratively to see transformation and change take place in their place. It's been a strange year, hasn't it? A very, very strange, challenging and difficult year. One of the things I found really helpful this year has been reading some of Paul's lockdown letters, the letters he wrote whilst locked up, particularly Philippians. What's amazed me is just getting these glimpses of the Apostle Paul's faith in these very challenging circumstances. For me, Philippians has been a really challenging thing to open up with today because Paul is in Rome. He's wearing chains. He's under house arrest. And he's writing to the church in Philippi. Now, that same church he'd helped start many years earlier in Acts chapter 16. And what's interesting is that in Philippi, as that church was pioneered, it happened that Paul got arrested. Paul was in chains. Paul was in prison. And then he prayed and something miraculous took place. An earthquake shook the foundations as he prayed. The chains fell off and the doors sprung open and the church in Philippi was planted. And I imagine the church in Philippi was thinking, this is an amazing story of what happened. The church began here. And yet now Paul is writing to us from a different situation. Again, he's in chains. Again, he's under house arrest in prison. Where is God's power at work? Has God stopped working in some way? There seems to be no miraculous escape for Paul in this second scenario. And yet in Philippians 1 verse 12, he says this. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. That under such challenging circumstances, the gospel had actually gone out and actually spread out, and people had come to faith even in these difficult circumstances. As I've reflected upon these letters time and time again, Paul really understood what it was to be in Christ, how to abide in Christ, no matter what circumstances he faced. Over the years, I found it really helpful to think about the Christian faith. This is the idea of breathing in and breathing out, breathing in, receiving from God, being intimate with God, and then breathing out, working with God as we serve our communities, as we share something of who Christ is. I was a bit jealous this morning to hear that Norman is down on the coastline in Cornwall. I love surfing down in Cornwall and I often go surfing down there. And surfers call it the washing machine cycle. When you get knocked off a wave and you're being tumbled around upside down and you forget which way is up and which way is down, you try and make your way to the surface and you finally get that breath of air and you remember how important breathing is. I think for the Christian faith, breathing is vital. How are we breathing in? How are we receiving from Christ? And second of all, how are we breathing out? How are we sharing the hope we have in Christ with the world around us? And I'll look this morning at Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. If you've got your Bibles there, probably not a pew Bible, but a Bible with you there would be great. Luke 5. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. One day, Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. They could not find a way to do this because of the crowd. They went up onto the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friends, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Luke 4, 5 and 6 is so action-packed. There is Jesus being tempted in the desert. There is him preaching in synagogues, casting out demons, healing Peter's mother-in-law, a miraculous catch of fish, the man healed from leprosy, the paralyzed man lowered down and healed, Jesus eating with sinners at a dinner party, challenging Pharisees about the Sabbath, healing a man's right shriveled arm, choosing the 12 disciples and preaching the Beatitudes. These three chapters are action-packed. There is drama, controversy, emotion, moments of heaven connecting with earth, and it's really easy to miss three small verses. Luke 4, 42. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. Luke 5, 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke 6, 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. In the midst of revival, in the midst of this amazing things happen, with all eternity to spend with the Father, Jesus took time out to breathe in, to receive afresh from his Father in heaven. I think he was helping to model to us what it is to be truly human. Jesus was under immense pressure. In this passage, we see how he was getting attacked by the Pharisees. And early on, the people of his hometown had tried to push him off a cliff. We have lived through in the last year this shared experience. It's been a very challenging time for many of us. We've all shared this experience, but at the same time, each of us has had a very different experience. Some of us have been extremely bored. We have completed Netflix. And yet some of us have maybe been working on the front line, working longer hours than ever before. Some of us have struggled to juggle homeschooling, while others perhaps have been desperate just to talk to somebody face to face. Some of us have lost jobs. Some of us have lost loved ones. And as lockdown eases, there is so much need. In Luke 5:15, it says that there was this sense of need that was almost overwhelming for Jesus as crowds came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Jesus was in demand, so many needs. And as this pandemic begins to kind of change the way we do things, we begin to see the needs there are both locally and globally, and it can feel overwhelming at times. In this pressurized situation, we need to remember first and foremost who we are and whose we are. There are lots of prayers that Jesus prays in the Bible. The Lord's Prayer, John 17, some fantastic prayers. The times we hear God the Father speak back to Jesus at his baptism and the transfiguration, we hear those words, "This is my son whom I love. With him, I am well pleased." It's in this time perhaps of pressure, it's easy to forget who we are and whose we are. How are we breathing in? How are we receiving afresh from Christ? I've been writing recently about the idea of habits, and a habit is basically three things. It is a cue, an action, and a reward. So pre-COVID, the cue was you meet someone new. The action was you put out your hand and you have a handshake. And the reward was a sense of connection there and then in that moment. For my daughter, trying to get her into a bedtime routine, we had a kind of habit there. The cue was we would sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. The action was her hands would go to her eyes and begin to rub and within moments she was asleep. The reward was a sleeping child. The only problem came at nursery when one day she at 10 a.m. they began singing Twinkle Twinkle. And my daughter passed out at 10 in the morning fast asleep. The idea of cue, action and reward, these habits, what habits do we need to begin to create to make sure we are breathing in? Over the last year, many of our normal habits have changed. How we do life has changed. The things, the patterns and the rhythms of life have shifted. Jesus made times, he habitually made times to go alone and be with the Father. What are the habits that we need to have in this season? And perhaps particularly as lockdown eases, as things change again, how do we make sure we spend time connecting with God, breathing in? A couple of quick ideas for cues. Maybe when you're parking your car, rather than getting out straight away, you spend 5 minutes just being alone with God, making some space. Maybe a cue is having a space in your home, maybe a chair. You sit, and we have a prayer chair in our house. We try and spend 15 minutes a day sat in that chair, just praying and reminded again of who we are. Perhaps it's about getting dressed in the morning, putting something to remind you that as you're on your wardrobe, that as you're getting dressed, how can you be praying for the world and receiving afresh from God? Let's keep breathing in. If we forget to breathe in, then grace becomes works. If we forget to breathe in, then relationship becomes religion. If we forget to breathe in, then joy becomes a heavy yoke. We're going to do that famous habit now. Okay. Thank you for that. That's great. Can we right now just breathe in where you are, breathe in, and then breathe out, and then breathe in, and then breathe out. This simple idea, I think, of the Christian faith, breathing in and breathing out. So we breathe in, remember who God is, remember who we are and who we are called to be. Then we breathe out into the world. There's a local guy near me who's an alcoholic and is quite rough and ready kind of guy. And he thinks I'm a Catholic priest. And I always say to him, I'm not a Catholic priest, I'm just a Christian, but he's convinced I'm a Catholic priest. And a couple of years ago, I was walking home one night and it was quite late and quite dark. And I saw this guy, I thought, oh, no, I don't want to talk to him right now. I'll keep walking home. When suddenly he shouted out, hey, it's the Catholic priest. And he ran across the road and like, no, I'm not a Catholic priest. I'm still just a Christian. But he grabbed me and said, you must come over here. I said, why? It's about to be a fight. You should come and tell them what Jesus says about fighting. I said to him, well, you're okay, thank you. I'm going home. I'll leave it to you. I'm just heading home. Thank you, mate. No, not tonight. And he grabbed me and said, no, you must come and tell these guys about what Jesus says about fighting. I'm like, well, no, I don't want to do that. But he pulled me into over this fight. There were two men with their T-shirts off about to have a punch-up. And he pushed me into the middle and said, listen to this Catholic priest. Let him tell you what Jesus says about fighting. So I said, you know, well, Jesus says, you know, love your enemy. And at that point, these two guys said to me, please, sir, go away, using a very different language. And so, okay, I've tried. I've begun to walk away. It's not worked out. I'm sorry, it hasn't worked. I've tried. I've given it a go. This guy said, no, try again. And he pushed me back in the middle of this fight. And I thought, this is a nightmare. I'm going to get punched as these two guys are about to fight. So I just raised my hands in the air and said, Father God, right now, we pray for your peace in the situation. And to my astonishment, the peace of God came. And these two guys put their T-shirts on and walked off in different directions. It was an incredible moment. And what I love about this passage we have in Scripture in Luke chapter 5 is that Jesus has spent the night breathing in. He's made time to be alone with the Father. So that it helps him to really engage missionally with the world. The first thing is this, is that he sees interruptions as being opportunities. I think too often I miss opportunities because I don't want to be interrupted. That evening, as that guy interrupted my night walk home, was actually an opportunity to speak something of God into that situation. In that story in Luke 5, the leper falls before Jesus. It appears that Jesus isn't out looking for a leper, but he just falls in front of him. And then the paralyzed man is an interruption as he's lowered through the roof, as he gate crashes their meeting. Often we're not good with interruptions, but sometimes these interruptions are actually God-given opportunities. The second thing I love is from Luke 5 is that Jesus sees the actual needs. The leper, he sees him. And it says he reaches out and he touches him. Jesus touches the leper. I've been to India and been there on a leper colony. And when somebody's got leprosy, they are so pushed away from society that when you touch them, it speaks profoundly of that sense of worth and dignity. Jesus reaches out and touches the leper. And then he says, go to the priest. He's saying, I want you to be welcomed back into community, to be accepted by God again. He sees the need beneath the surface, not just the physical healing, but so much more. And the same with the paralyzed man. Your sins are forgiven. Isn't just some superficial response, but he sees the man's ultimate needs, that he needs to be forgiven. As we serve our communities, it's really encouraging for me that we serve not just practically our communities. We don't just help people get out of poverty or help people get food. We actually share with them too the message of Christ. And the third thing about Jesus in this passage is that there's just a sense of expectancy, that he expects the miraculous to happen. There's an expectancy that the Father can do things, the Spirit can work in these moments. I meet many churches that want to become more missional and working out how to breathe out. And as we have habits to breathe in, I think it's really helpful to think through what are some of the habits that will help us breathe out, that will help us see how we can speak God's love and God's truth and God's hope into the world. Many churches have in their vision statement they want to be sharing the Christian faith, but actually, if our culture as church doesn't change, then that vision statement is going to be quite ineffective. Culture really is how we do things around here. What are some of the habits we can have as God's people in the local church to help us share the faith? Three quick ideas and I'll close. The first one is this, is looking out for the four knots. The cue is when somebody says, things are not going well. Or when someone says, I'm not prepared for this. Or someone says, I used to be in church, but I'm not in church anymore. Or when someone says, I'm not from here, I'm new to this place. Those four knots of a cue. The action is to invite them to come be a part of church. And the reward is whether or not they come or not, the reward is knowing that you have invited them. The second is this, is when somebody asks you, how was your weekend? Tell them that you went to church and tell them one thing that you learned that was really good about it. Again, the reward is perhaps they'll pick up on it, but even if not, they will get the understanding that your faith is important to you. Third of all, there's a little campaign we do as a charity called Prompt. And it's the idea of having a question each week. This question card here is, who needs my help this week? We do this online via Facebook, some packs of these cards, or send Andy a pack in the post to you. But very simply, the idea of asking God a question each week and allowing God to help us look for opportunities to see how we might respond. How can we create a habit of listening to God for other people? There's one more final story about my kids, and then I'll close. My daughter was there. She's a massive fan of bouncy castles. When she was young, we were driving past this notorious pub and they had a bouncy castle in the back garden. And my daughter saw this pub. So I was like, oh, Daddy, there's a bouncy castle. Can I go? And I was like, oh, it's a pretty dodgy pub. It's got a bouncy castle. I'm not sure it's quite appropriate. But she was so keen. And I saw her face getting upset. I thought, okay, we'll go in for 10 minutes. She went into this bouncy castle and she took her shoes off. She raced over to her. She climbed on this bouncy castle. She's about 4 or 5 years old at the time. And this really angry looking 9-year-old boy went up to her and said, no girls allowed. I watched my daughter's face crumple as she kind of got off the bouncy castle, ran back over to me and said, the boy says, no girls are allowed in the bouncy castle. And I said, well, of course you can. Let me just kind of stand to one side, just go and try again. But I stood to one side, she climbed back in this bouncy castle, walked straight up to this boy and said, that's my daddy. And began bouncing away. I love telling that story because ultimately I believe when we breathe in, we discover afresh that God is our Father. We get that perspective on the world and on life. What habits are we creating to remind us of who we are and who we are called to be? And second of all, when we know that's my daddy, Then as we breathe out into the world, we can share his grace and his truth and his life and his hope. It won't always be easy. There'll be challenging things. But we know the Father is with us. And like Paul, whether we see the miraculous breaking through or we experience really challenging moments, we can still know God's presence is at work in our lives. What habits will we adopt as this new normal emerges? What things can we put into place that we as a people of God can create habits about sharing our faith and speaking of who God is? Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your amazing gospel. We thank you for communion, for celebrating the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. And we thank you for these words in Luke 4, 5, and 6, that you give us a model for how to pause, to put breaks in, to put moments in, to reflect upon who you are and who we're called to be. May you help us breathe in deeply, not just here this morning, but each and every day of each and every week, putting in the right habits to receive afresh from you. And help us as your people breathe out into the world, sharing more of your goodness and who you are. Holy Spirit, empower us, we pray. Help us to have habits that serve you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to hand back over to Julian now. He's going to close, think, with some time of worship.